Well, hello, everyone. I'm your host, Cindy Ketzel. Thanks for joining us for this episode of 9 to Thrive HR. In this podcast, we team up with experts to bring you the best in HR, talent management, and business strategy. We have been so very fortunate to receive such a number of opportunities for guests. You know, I don't take that for granted, so thank you. But if you do have others that you'd like to send through or any topics you're interested in, please shoot us an email at podcasts@hci.org. You all, Lena Tonk from iSolved is not a stranger to 9 to Thrive. I was sharing with Lena before we got started. This is our third time meeting, and I'm so delighted. Not only our third time meeting, but it is Lena's third title change with iSolved. And honest to goodness, like, it's perfect for her. She was sharing, you know, we land where we're supposed to be, and she has landed exactly where she needed to be. So we're going to talk a little bit more about that in just a minute. But because I've been thinking about this, one of the things that came to mind is Lena also is representative as a woman in leadership. And I know the first time we talked, Lena, we talked about your peer network called Chief and the work that you do with them, or the networking that you do with them, I should say. But I just thought a broader question might be, because we've watched you rise, or we've listened to you rise, as the conversation may be, talk to us a little bit about how amazing you are, a woman in leadership. You are doing it. You're doing exactly what you support and model and coach for other women.
Oh, thank you so much, Cindy. Thank you so much for having me again. And I can't believe it's been now three different changes since we first met. So how thrilling, and, you know, how grateful I am that you're having me, but grateful of this career progression that I've had. And then I happen to have in a company that I truly, truly care about so much. But look, my love for women in leadership started really early on. I'm originally from South America. So I knew that coming into the workforce, there were areas where I was identifying as a woman, that it was going to be harder, that I was going to have to prepare more, that, you know, as I looked my way up into management, director roles, even, it was going to be harder. And the only way to do it was going to be to have women by my side that will mentor me, support me, but that will show me the way and help me break boundaries along the way. So that became like such a passion to me. And along the way, Chief is one of the many groups I'm part of that has been tremendous for me. I'm also involved with our private equity firm, has an amazing women in leadership program as well. Some of my longtime friends are from there. But that's what's so special about these groups, is like these women become your champions, your friends, your people to go call, like, should I take on this? Should I do this or not? But more importantly, it's like trying to break those boundaries. Or, you know, we still have yet so much work to do when it comes to equality, when it comes to women. And as women, we should always have that at heart. How are we supporting each other? How can we be there for each other? So on everything and anything that I do, any role that I have ever run, it is a passion of mine to be able to support anyone around me. And I believe that when I'm supporting them, they're supporting me along the way too. So yeah, that's a big one for me. If I can do that every day in my role, then I'm winning.
Yeah. And, you know, it's obviously not an accident that we've got this, you know, group that starts with young girls. I think it's STEAM now. I think it was STEM and now it's STEAM. But talking about young girls being interested in technology, right? And sciences and engineering. But yeah, we want to make sure we're capturing, because we've got girls who become women, right? That are moving into that IT space and breaking barriers.
They are. And, you know, part of a smaller group too, where they actually use Strive, where they pair you up with girls that are just getting started in the workforce, or they're about to get started. Some are just finishing their careers. So many of them are like ready to go. Like, I'm going to go conquer the world. Nothing will stop me. But then you also see that hesitation that they have on, if I go do that, can I be a mother? If I go do that, can I be successful, you know, building my own business? Like, there's so many different barriers that they already put for themselves, even without starting. So that's one of my favorite programs I'm part of, because they come in to me and they're just asking for very simple questions, and their simple questions are so loaded with excitement, fear, opportunity. And that gives a lot back to me, because we still have so much work to do there.
Yep, you're absolutely right. Well, I want to also talk about this new role that you have. And it's so exciting. And you and I, before the call or before the interview here, we were just chatting that during our last conversation, it seemed that chief experience role or chief experience officer role was kind of, was noodling about this at the time, perhaps earlier in 2023. So talk to me about this new role. It's obviously becoming more popular in title. So what is your thoughts on, not only for your organization, but for other organizations, this idea of a chief experience officer?
Yeah, so it's been exciting. I do believe it is where I needed to be and land, and it connects with my heart a lot. I actually connected to women in leadership a lot too. I think for a company to make the decision that we have to invest in experience, but it's not we're going to invest in experience by adding someone here or this program or this project. As you are investing all the way up into a C-level role that will allow to put their arms around the whole organization in that way to support every experience and interaction that we have, not uniquely to our employees. And I think this was our discussion in one of our first podcasts, but our interactions that we have with our employees, and they have that impact into our customers. So when I look at CX and my role specifically and the role that the experience team has within the organization, it's really making sure that there's positive interactions within the organization through our employees' eyes, and how we treat them, how we talk to them, how we're transparent with them, how we make them feel, because that exactly is what they are going to do with our customers. It's thrilling. And we have such a high female customer demographic too. So it is really exciting to be able to do research with them, talk to them about it, and the importance of those interactions and what it means to them. Like, this is how I perceive customer experience for me today, and how iSolve is transferring that for me. And it comes all the way from the inside of the EX.
Absolutely. You know, and you're right. We've talked about a form of employee experience on both of our previous conversations. And it's interesting when we go back to our conversation from 2022, it's not only HR's responsibility. Do you remember that? And you're like, I have a very unpopular opinion about this. Might not be happy about this. But guess what, Lena? You know, I have participants in class, you know, and more I talk to them, I am hearing that it is the organization's value or the organization's responsibility for this employee experience. So it's interesting how you all have grown since 2022.
I think the connection and the high responsibility that it is put into HR's hands to say you are fully responsible for EX. It was my unpopular opinion that has now not been so unpopular.
Yes,
anymore.
That's right.
So that's actually the investment on EX, CX, and a CXO, because I think we actually mentioned this in our previous episode, is I don't go a day without speaking to a chief people officer. That's the way it should be. And I know the alignment that we have with all other departments to know, okay, we might be putting together all these programs when it comes to experience and whatnot, but we are all owners. Every single department has some level of ownership of that experience.
And I know you all grasp that. I know that's a value at iSolved. I know that it's transformative for the customers that you're working with, as you very plainly indicated. You know, you are serving your employees in the very way you want your employees to be serving their customers. So it's transitioning. However, I will say this, and it comes through when I'm talking to HR professionals around the world, there is still somewhat of a gap for HR to be seen as a strategic part of the organization. So I know you're surrounded with, you know, the positives of this, and we're moving it in the right direction, but do you think that there is still that gap that exists? And if so, if you're thinking about any of your customers, what would you give them, or even our HR professionals listening in, what would you say to them to help kind of overcome this gap that some organizations still hold on to?
Yeah, I love this topic. This is probably the one that I've discussed, like you, very, very frequently with our customers. Last year, I think it was a topic that was top of mind for absolutely everyone. We kept talking for years that the future of work was going to change everything. It's going to change the way HR was viewed. And it did. It absolutely did. You know, if we go back to some of our research, actually, and some of the research recently, Sapient Insights Group, the annual HR assistant survey, where under that survey, they had about 50% of HR organizations are viewed to add strategic value to organizations. So, I mean, that's a big number. But when you go talk to customers, then you say, okay, do you feel like you have that strategic chair? Are you being able to provide that strategic value? And more importantly, is your CEO looking at you from that strategic perspective? One of the things that we find out is that with time, it becomes so tactical how they start streamlining some of these processes, automating their processes, becoming more data-driven because of the data that now they have available to them. And that slowly has made them turn into this strategic mind. Now I can provide my input of where the company is going. And I'm not just providing my input, I'm providing trends, I'm providing benchmarks. I am predicting where things are going. So I still think we have work to do here, though, Cindy, because the more I speak to HR professionals like you have, they want to do this. The industry is going there. But what challenges are they experiencing to get there is what I feel I normally do with our customers, trying to identify, okay, what's your main challenge to be able to get you more automated, to be able to get you more of that data out that it will allow you to be more strategic? And it goes back to sometimes the smaller things. You know, one of our surveys did also show that, you know, some of the HR professionals are spending between 4 to 10 hours answering the same question over and over. And that alone, how would you ever be strategic when you have to do that, when you're a team of one or two or three, and some companies much larger than that? But it goes back to what tools can I use to provide those answers over and over to my employees that would allow me to get that time back so that I can be more strategic. This is an amazing topic because I think the industry will continue to evolve. That's where the industry is going. And there's a lot of, like, you know, AI will play a role in that as well. And I think many of us are excited about that.
Well, and I had an awesome conversation with Megan Cohen about augmenting HR. And boy, did that really stick in my mind. But I really loved that conversation with her. And you're bringing up that same point. You know, maybe this is the year we start thinking about how can we, as Megan talked about, how can we augment what we're doing to continue to mature? Because that's what you're talking about, right? We need that time back.
Right. And I think when you look at it, people look at it, is that so simple? You know, it's 4 to 10 hours. But when you sit down, and this happens a lot for us through our roadshows, we're so often in front of our customers that they say, look, I hear this so much, which is so beautiful from an experience perspective, but a team of one or two is always going to tell you, my role as HR is to answer the questions. So my role is that they never feel like my door is closed. But what things can we do so well that you're still answering the question and you're still allowing yourself those 4 to 6 hours back? And many have been very successful doing that. I love seeing those success stories where they say, look, just by implementing a few features within a self-service part of their People Cloud for us, it's been transformational for them being able to use any of our tools. Like if they have university, well, what are the things that they ask you every single day? Download my paycheck. Let's have a fun video about downloading your paycheck. I think there's a lot of very tactical things that HR can start doing, but then beyond that, that's what will allow them, I think, to become more strategic.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, I often hear there's that same little guttural feeling for some folks that, but this is my job, you know, this is part of what makes up my day to day, and not recognizing if I had that 4 hours back, I could be more proactive with my leaders. We could have conversations. We could be talking about employee experience, right? We could have more strategic, proactive communication with some of those hours back to the day.
You know, I have one customer that was her main concern early on. I mean, this had to be now 14 months ago. She's been so successful with this, but her biggest concern was, look, I do not want to have a culture of having my door closed, that they can't ask questions, or that their questions are going to become automated. And we drill down into what those recurring things were, and she built her own videos and self-service, and you know, now she's using AI and all these things. But the outcome was that she now not only has time to spend on strategic initiatives, she was telling us she now spends 1 to 2 hours during the day walking the hallways, which never able to do. So talk about that first concern that she had. It took a couple months for her to see it that way. But then I realized, like, I'm walking more around the office. I'm calling people more out of the blue. And that allows you to do all that development and connection. You know, we are in the business of people after all.
Yeah.
Yeah, I love those outcomes.
Yeah. So what do you suggest HR do to help bring other departments into the fold? Maybe with an hour freed up now, what do you suggest with them starting to bring other parts of the organization into that employee experience?
Yeah, I think what's important is that HR, you know, we've been drilling down with customers on this topic too. It's like, how do I get IT here? How do I get the customer side in here too? Like, I think it's everyone's job, number one. But number two is, how do I convince them that this is important and this is part of the role? So it's just being able to express from the outside. So look, I believe IT is so important on employee experience. And I think normally it's not looked at that way. You know, as an employee, you know, like, all this research on onboarding that shows that employees that go through a bad onboarding, I mean, this is over 50%, that they will look for another job immediately because their onboarding wasn't a good experience. Well, who is a major player when it comes to their onboarding? IT. You know, do they have the tools that they need to communicate? Do they have the things that they need to communicate? So I think it is their role. In this case, it will be from an experienced team to do it in, you know, with HR. But in an organization that, you know, experience fully leaves an HR too only, is being able to go into those departments and translate why they're part of this experience. And IT will be that, hey, look, new employee, do they have what they need? Can they communicate? And then you go into the other departments that I believe are very critical. Obviously, finance department will be absolutely critical as well on, you know, how I feel as an employee. So I think it's for HR to be able to show those departments how important they are to impacting that experience. And I often say, how do you highlight the work they're already doing? I think for us, for example, one of our customers experienced this too. She's like, I didn't get IT's buy-in until I showed IT how amazing they were, because there was no way that I was going to do the things that they do to connect a virtual employee to be successful. So this one customer took it upon himself to build this thing to show IT how amazing they were and connect it to what they were doing. And it was finally opened their mind into, oh, wow, now you're highlighting our work. How great is that? Now let's improve the experience together. So I think those are kind of ways that I've seen success from our customers, and I've actually seen that here as well.
Yeah, and that's, I guess, what I was going to ask you too, because I know, you know, as we have talked now over the last couple of years, you know, that's a big part of your core at iSolved is we walk the walk, we talk the talk. You've created an environment, right, that this CXO role has become a priority and a value in your organization. So you guys have done something right to be able to build that and bring it to the limelight. So can you share with us at all what you have done? Are there any specific examples that you can think about how you all are working together?
Yeah, I think it's actually very simple for us on how it started and how it's going today. On if your organization goals are aligned to working together towards one experience. In our case, I think you've heard us speak of Win as One, and we use it on emails every day. We'll say, I got this, Win as One, together we're doing it. So we're impacting each other's experience, helping each other out. But even on that conversation we just had on getting the buy-in from IT, getting the buy-in for finance, is a Win as One culture for us. When I think of customers and other organizations, like when we keep talking about if they're a team of one or two or whatnot, like how can they really transform this from the core, even if they're a small organization? I think company goals attached to values, because being able to put those company goals out there and those company goals being attached and aligned to the organization and having a goal that is really going to translate into experience. I think experience should be all over in what you do, but if you have a goal that is attached to experience, then employees are going to live and breathe it. For example, for us, our values, we have one value that is attached to experience specifically. So I think the best way to do it is when you strategically transfer a role with the organization by simply putting it out there. These are our values, these are our company goals, and I'm attached to them. So if I am providing good experience to this department or that department is doing for me, I am meeting my goals by doing some of that. So I think I'm calling it simple, not too simple, but I think it starts there.
It has to. What comes to mind as I think about recruiting and interviewing and candidates, and I would suspect we want diversity, obviously, in our organization, right? Diversity of thought, diversity of experience, diversity of history, diversity of industry, all of those good pieces when we're looking for new candidates. But is there something at that level that you're already asking candidates? Because you'd want somebody that fits. Does that make sense? You'd want somebody that's coming in that customers are our value. Would you know of at that level when you're starting to identify candidates, does it kind of fold over into that practice?
Yeah, I think there's just so many different ways to do that. Oh my gosh, I had this long discussion with a customer last year on this specifically, because, you know, when you think of today what the HR has available to them, so we're saying drive more data to ATS systems and what they can pull out of candidates out of the ATS systems and where ATS systems are going and where they're today to allow for diversity of candidates. And like you said, it's industry, it's experience, all kinds of diversity. It's so interesting. And I still believe we all have some work to do there. I think the industry has come so far along. The systems are today, the ability that they have to allow this, it's pretty incredible to me. If you had asked me this 10 years ago, I would have said, way would we get there, especially for someone as a champion from the diversity side as I am. But I always go back into, we are in the business of people. We should use software systems, services on our behalf to allow us to be people for people. And I think if we do it that way, it allows that diversity. And I think that's if we do it right, when we're doing it right, those services, the software, is allowing us to push farther. And then when we get involved as people, then we have the ability to make those changes. It's such an interesting topic because no matter where we look at it, we will continue to have work to do.
Oh, yeah. You know, I was observing a HCI class yesterday, and I was so delighted to hear from them the practices that they have in place in their organizations. And it was diverse organizations that were in the classroom. And I said, you know, I'm so grateful to hear that your organizations, that this is a focal point. And I'm like, I just hope that we can transform organizations that just is how we are recruiting and how we are hiring and how we are doing things is thinking about diversity just in general, right? That's just the way that it should be.
I think so too. But Cindy, where we are today, I think we're still going to fight it. Yeah, but I think I see such opportunity on the fight. If it wasn't such a topic, then it wouldn't be so important. So I always think of it that way. And when I arrive into the experience role, that was a very important part of developing why a chief experience role for iSolve and why a team of experience and why at this moment in time. And diversity was such an important part of that. The experiences we provide are so important, how we change the way people feel. And that has to be so combined with the diversity of people, backgrounds, industries, all the things. But we have work to do.
Work to do. And you know what? The phrase that just popped into my mind, this conversation is what provides for us rich employee experience.
Yes.
Our landscape of our people that we hire within our organizations helps to provide that for everyone and for people to feel like they belong, you know?
I actually think that all this talk and the very popular side of experience, and now that it's being brought up front, I was just talking to an analyst about this. They said, well, why now? And I told them, and I said, I feel like as an organization, you have to be mature enough to get there. And when the time's right, then this is what you make a priority. I think it's a combination of things to get there. I'm happy that we're here, and I'm happy that we are able to, you know, like some of the analysts are saying, you guys are leading the industry in experience. We're going to be watching you. I'm like, keep watching. Exciting. What's exciting about it is that we are putting a spotlight on what's so important, employees, people, and those experiences translated to what we do with customers.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, your reach is so, it's out there. I mean, it is ongoing, right? Your reach is just, infinity is the word that I'm looking for. I'm like, what is that word? But last, I want to wrap up here because if I am ever so grateful to be able to continue having conversations with iSolved, this will be a cool one to listen back in on. What do you think a year from now? You all are changing, right? You're changing the landscape around experience. Your organization has prioritized it. You have so graciously moved into that title and are killing it. What do you hope the perception of experience will be if we were to have this conversation a year from now?
To me, success will mean that we are putting that spotlight, that people will start putting a spotlight in what their own employees mean to their success of CX. I think as an experience overall, there's too many still seeing them separate, building them separate, having separate goals, and that doesn't work anymore. The workforce that is coming right behind us is already here, appreciates that, learns from that. So to me, success will be to start seeing organization connecting the importance of EX to CX outcomes and understanding that really all it is that we are ensuring positive interactions with our employees and with our customers, and we are making the industry and the world better by doing that.
Awesome. Making the industry and the world better. I love that. That is a great way for us to round out this conversation to finish this up. You know, I have to say just really quick, and we'll hop off here, but when I was listening into our conversation from 2022, you had just gotten back from town hall number 11. Isn't that crazy? 11.
Yeah, it's absolutely incredible. So I'll give you a quick preview that we are on 1 week off or so, 1 week and a half or so of the relaunch of what will be for 2024. And we built it based on all the customers' feedback. So literally helped us shape what the roadshows will be. How exciting is that going to be?
It's so exciting. And I can't wait to see them again this year on LinkedIn. I'm so excited.
Yes, thank you so much. You should join us for one of them.
I know. I need to find out when. I have a couple of different cities that I can be in that I could see easily if you guys are nearby.
Yeah, please do.
I would love it. I'm sure I would be blown away. All right, Lena. Well, gosh, thank you so much. I always enjoy our conversations. And honest to goodness, what you are doing for your organization, you know, what I solved is serving up as a priority, how that is layering on your customers and your customer success and overcoming challenges. It cannot be undone. So thank you so much for sharing tips and actions and tools for our listeners.
Thank you so much, Cindy. Thank you so much for having me.
Absolutely. All right, Nine to Thrive listeners, just a reminder, if you do have suggestions, podcasts@hci.org. Also, please, please, please subscribe to this podcast and give us a rating. If you're listening, for example, on Apple Podcasts or wherever you listen, please provide a rating. Give us some feedback there. Your rating helps other professionals and talent-minded people discover our program. For 9 to Thrive HR and all of us here at HCI, we appreciate you for tuning in. Make it a great day, everyone.